So this morning, I thank God for the privilege of being able to bring his word to you. And it's a word that God's been stirring on my heart even as we're away. But just to begin with, I was thinking about it and I was reminded that our children, and many of yours maybe, love to play spot the difference, where you have to find a little difference between two pictures that look almost the same. And they used to have great delight in that. But as I was thinking and remembering that, I was thinking, I wonder if we were to play spot the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian, what differences would we find, and what would be the key difference? We all are created by God. We all have arms, legs. We're all physical beings. And so there's a similarity there. And sometimes we look at people and we try to guess or think, would they be a Christian? And sometimes, you know, there are people that wear a cross around their neck or all of these sort of things, but all people wear those today. That doesn't mean anything. And as I've said to you before, I'm a people watcher. I love to watch people, not in a critical way, but in an inquisitive way, and just see the awesomeness of God and how he's created us all individually. And you can sit in a street and watch hundreds and hundreds of people go by and they're all different. And sometimes we can look at people and think, they're really nice people, maybe they're a Christian. When we get talking to them, they're not. Sometimes we think that because someone's nice and they don't swear and they're very kind, that they're a Christian, but they're not. There are some lovely people. I'm sure you have people in your families, people that you know, that are really nice people, that don't swear, that don't do anything wrong to anybody, and they're really kind and caring, but they're not Christians. And so, you know, we tend to look and we think, what's the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian? There is an essential difference, of course. And as we look this morning, we'll see a little bit more about that. And the passage that we're looking at this morning is in Exodus 33. And I'm going to read from verse 1 down to verse 20. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp, some distance away, calling it the tent of the meeting. And this was actually the first meeting, and we have now prayer meetings, but this was the first meeting place. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to this tent of the meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went into the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrance to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at its entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they stood and worshipped, each at the entrance of his tent. And this is important. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp. And this was the scripture that really grabbed hold of me. But his young assistant, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, 'Lead these people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name, and you have found favour with me.' If you," and this is another key scripture in verse 13, "if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favour with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you," singular, "and give you rest." Then Moses said to me, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here." And this is the major thrust of this message. "How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you," singular, and I know you by name. So he's speaking personally to Moses. Then Moses said, now show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man may see me and live. Then the Lord said, there is a place near where you may stand in a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I'll remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face you must not see. Father, I pray that you might open your word this morning and that you would bring revelation and understanding as we share it, Lord God, that you might bless our hearts to this understanding, that we might all grow into the fullness that you have for each one of us, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So, the difference between a Christian and non-Christian is the presence of God. The very, very presence of God that is within us. And as it says, Moses prays to God, how will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from other people on the face of the earth? Nothing. It is Jesus. He is our identity. He is our hope. So according to Moses, this was the only thing that distinguished him. So it's important that we understand God's presence. And this is the theme of Exodus, of course. But we need to be very careful that today we know that unlike then, the Holy Spirit came at times, and Moses was called to deliver the children out of bondage, out of Israel. And so he did that, and he had this motley crew of people, about a million of them, and he took them, and they grumbled and they groaned, even though they saw God's hand at work in their lives. And Moses was continually encouraging them and stirring them that their hearts might be turned towards God and that they might understand this great and this wonderful life that they'd been given. And is it much different today? Is it much different today? We're a motley crew, aren't we? And you see, the Spirit of God is always stirring our hearts to the things that Jesus Christ has done through his Father. And as we come and bring the word, as we come into home groups, as we come into meetings, we're always having our hearts stirred with that hope, with that purpose, that one purpose that Jesus Christ is alive, but where he's in us. He's living in us. And you see, we've been called to a mission to bring Christ to the world. But you see, if the presence of God is not within us, if we're not revealing the presence of God, we can walk out there and look no different to anybody else. But if the presence of God is powerful, if his Spirit is burning a fire within us, then we should be turning this community upside down. You know, as we travelled around, we found many times that, yes, we speak, we share with people that things of God, but you see, people see a difference within us. It's not to say we're perfect, because we're not. But our desire is to live for Christ. The minute we wake up in the morning is to have relationship with him. God desires intimacy. And so we see Moses sets a great example here because he had intimacy with God. And the tent, the tabernacle, the tent where he met with God was some distance from him. And Moses didn't get up in the morning and think, oh God, it's cold today and I don't feel so wonderful. I'm going to have a sleep in and I'm not going to meet with you. No, he got up and he went and he met with God. And so much so that all of the people came to their tents waiting to see. This is what they're waiting to see. Do you know that people are waiting to see that you are faithful? Sometimes those that we love or sometimes those that we know can become turned away from the things of God. And you see, God also says, which I haven't touched on, but earlier on, God had said to Moses, these people are stiff-necked. I don't want to know them. Many of us know stiff-necked people. My prayer is that none of us will ever become stiff-necked, that we would never become indifferent to the things of God. You know, when your neck's stiff, you can't turn around, you can't see. And people were becoming like that and they couldn't see. All they could see was what was in front of them. All they could see was their own needs. All they could see was their own selfishness. And it's so easy for people to become like that, even Christians. And when we become like that, it doesn't mean we've lost our salvation, but we're not walking in all that God wants for us. Do you know people like that? Because I do. I know Christians like that, and it grieves me. But you see, God says we're to get alongside them and encourage them. Maybe you've got family members like that. But you see, Moses went in and he pleaded for the people. He pleaded for the people. You see, God was saying to Moses, I won't leave you. I will do this thing for you. That's why I said singular, because God was speaking to Moses. And he said to Moses, I will do the very thing you've asked because I'm pleased with you and I know your name. He knew Moses. Do you feel that God really knows you? There are people, there are friends, I'm ashamed to say, that I have that I call dear friends, but I don't see them very often. And that's not intimacy. There are husbands and wives that are married, but they're not intimate with one another. They don't share oneness, and so marriages drift apart. We can be Christians and know Jesus. We know of him. We say that he's our Saviour, but do we really know him? Do we really spend time with him? Do we really long to see him? Pastor Chris is going away, and already I'm sure if I know her, she's already missing him and he hasn't gone yet. But she knows he's going away, as he will miss her. The children will miss him because they will miss. He's still their father, but they will miss that intimacy. Yes, they can ring and talk on the phone, but it's not like coming face to face. And there are many Christians like that. Come to church on a Sunday, go to home group, but what happens in between? You see, I wrote in the bulletin this week that God has given us a thing called life. And he is our life. Is he your life? Does he touch the very heart of you and stir your heart that no matter what's going on around you, no matter what the weather's like, no matter what your situation's like, you want to seek him? You want to spend time with him? It's not enough just to say a glib little quick prayer every day. God wants us to spend time with him. He wants that intimacy. And you see, if he has that, he says, I know your name. I know you. I know all about you. God wants us to share our hearts with him. And so Moses said to God, what an awesome thing, but this is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because is he not our mediator who pleads on our behalf? Is he not the one who came and gave his life so that we would be saved? And so Moses is pleading for these people. And so God said to him, I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. But Moses said, now show me, I'm pleading for these people. He wanted God. He could have walked away and said, well, I'm fed up with these people too. I'm sick of them because all they do is whinge and carry on everything that happens. But no, Moses said, me and your people, these people. And so God said, all right, I will do this thing. And so then God said to Moses, what would you have me do for you? Now, Moses could have asked God for anything. He could have asked him for anything. He could have asked him to make life easy. He could have asked him to sharpen these people up or whatever, but he didn't. Moses said, now show me your glory. Show me your glory. Moses wanted more and more and more of God. He wanted to see his glory. He wanted to see his power. He wanted more of that oneness. Now we know then in those days that there were all sorts of rules and regulations and they lived under the law. The Lord Jesus Christ has come and he's laid his life bare for each one of us. He's given his life that we might live. He came and died in our place. And so we need to be following him. We need having that intimacy. Jesus didn't give up his life for nothing. He gave it that we would have a close relationship with his Father and ours. And that out of that relationship, others would see and know that we were Christians. And the Word of God says it's by our love and our appreciation of one another, our respect for one another, but also out of our kindness and our genuineness to the world. There's nothing more wonderful than people start to ask us about what we do or who we are because they see something in us, all of us, that they see as different. We need to be different. We need to be. When people see us, they need to be able to spot the difference. They may not fully understand, but they know that we're different. We're different to them. We're softer. We're more caring. We're more gracious. And you see, as Moses pleaded for the people, as Jesus gave his life for us, we need to plead for the people. We need to stand. Moses stood in the gap. We need to stand in the gap. But you see, unless we have an intimate relationship, we can't stand in the gap. We can't stand in the gap. I don't want to ever go before the Lord and the Lord say, "Now, who are you again?" I want him to know who I am, right like that, because I'm familiar with him, he's familiar with me. I'm in his presence always. And so then we can come boldly before the throne of grace and we can say, "Lord, I want this, not because I want it, because I know it's your heart. I don't want money. I don't want cars. I want my husband. I want my wife. I want my children." And you see, just like Abraham, God's given us his word, and we don't have to pray vain prayers. We speak the word of God back to him. We tell God his word. God loves to hear us speak his word. Your word said that none would perish. Your word said that you are faithful. Your word said that Jesus Christ died that all might be saved. That includes my family. That includes my friends. Is that how you come before God? You see, if you've got relationship, you can be open. You can be bold. If you don't have relationship, you've got to work hard at building that to get it started. My husband and I, we've been married 52 years, as we all know. And so we come to one another naturally now and speak very naturally about. We don't have to come in all politely and come around things. You just come and say what it is. And that's how we should be with God, even greater. Because there's an intimacy we can have with our Lord God that we don't have with another human being. There are things that we share in our heart that we can't share with anybody else, no matter how much we love them, no matter how close we are, but we can share them with him. And sometimes even without words, because there's such a closeness, the Spirit stirs those things within us, as the Word of God says. We need to be very careful that we don't take for granted what God has given us, that we do not take our relationship with him for granted. Because the Lord can easily refuse to dwell with us. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not saved, but we can be out of fellowship with him. You know, David, when he committed sin with Bathsheba, he said, "Oh, Lord, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Take not your relationship from me." He was grieved. He was broken. He was repentant. And we need to be sensitive. And you see, it's only as we have this intimacy with the Lord and we have this oneness that we will be quickly convicted of our sin. Otherwise, our conscience can be seared and we can get that way that we just pass things off. I heard someone say to me the other day, something happened and they said, "Oh, look, it was only a little lie or it was only a little sin." There's no such thing. There's right and there's wrong. There's truth and there's untruth. And we need to be people of the truth. We need to be people that open our hearts with truth. Remember, it's God. God hears everything. We often get anxious and fear what other people think of us. That's not my thought. My first thought is, what does God think of me? Because he doesn't only hear what comes out of my mouth, he senses what's in my heart. And we can be deceptive even to ourselves, that we can say all of the right things and be seemingly doing all the right things, but there's bitterness and there's anxiety and there's wrong thoughts within us. It's only as we have that intimacy with Christ that we allow the Holy Spirit to cleanse those things and make things new. I don't know about you, but it's an exercise that I do every so often. Obviously, I pray much, but the Word of God tells us to ask God to search our hearts. And sometimes, even if I don't ask, God reveals things, and I'm shocked at what God shows me about myself. And I'm able to come before him and repent and say, Lord, forgive me, forgive me. Because we live in a world and there's so much mush going on out there. It's so easy to get drawn into it. It's so easy to agree with somebody because we're too afraid or afraid they're not going to accept us if we disagree with them. But God's given us a voice. He's given us a heart. He's given us a life. He's given us a confidence, a boldness to stand and say, no, I won't have that. I won't be part of that. So we need to be very careful that we don't take the things of God for granted. Moses came face to face with God. Do you come face to face? Are you able to come and speak to him? And not only that, as I said, hear what he's got to say to you. If you're struggling with spending time with God, you need to pray as Moses prayed. You need to say, Lord, I found favour in your sight. Please show me now your ways that I might know you in order to find favour in your sight. Moses already had this oneness, but he wanted more. And you see, the other part that I brought out was Joshua. This young man, we hear much about Joshua. And you see, as I was saying to you young men this morning, you don't know, you can't comprehend what God's got ahead for you. Joshua didn't know what God was going to do with him. He was quite happy. He followed Moses. He loved and honoured and respected him. But you see, he didn't have things confused. He saw Moses as God's representative and he wanted what Moses had. He wanted relationship with this God. He wanted to be able to come face to face. Now, Joshua was not allowed to come into the tent, but he used to stand outside. He used to follow Moses. He was very obedient. He was very hungry, and so he would follow Moses and he would stand outside, and then when Moses would leave the tent, he would stay there. He would stay there. And so God saw his heart, the softness, the way he was able to ply him, the way he was able to use him, and so he called him to succeed Moses. And I don't believe that Joshua ever dreamt that would happen. And so you young men may not be able to dream what God is going to do. But he says, just surrender to me. Surrender to my word. Allow me to open you up. Allow me to show you what I want to do in your life. And so Joshua was used in a mighty way. He simply longed for the presence of God. I can't even go into the tent myself, but I can stand out and I can feel the presence of God. If we only had a fraction of Moses and Joshua's passion for the presence of God and the work of the Lord within our hearts, what an amazing thing we would be doing in our community, in our families. The favour of God, how to be confident in the presence of God. We need to have that boldness, as I said. We need to be able to come. And you see, when you pray according to God's will, and that's the other thing, you see, part of maturity, part of knowing God, part of intimacy is learning to understand. Not, it narrows down. It isn't like God says he loves us and he wants to bless us so we can ask him for everything. We learn to understand God's heart and his principles and the things that he wants for us. So we start to pray his word for our lives, his word for our loved ones' lives. And so it isn't God's will just to bless us with lots of money, although God provides our needs. We know that. And there are some that God provides with lots of money. But he does that when he sees that their hearts are yielded and they know how to use that money. But it is God's will for your family to be saved. It is God's will that you have right relationships with your loved ones. It is God's will that you will walk in health and strength and victory. It is God's will for you to go out there and speak boldly to your neighbour and to show the love of Christ to all that you meet. So you can pray those things. And so we need to stand in the gap. If you know someone who is a Christian and they've become edgy and stiff-necked and turning their head away from God and looking more to the things of this world, because just because you're a Christian doesn't isolate you or insulate you from those things. It's a choice that we make. It's a choice that we make to stand in that place, to have all that God wants rather than everything our eyes lust after. God is taking us to narrow us down so that we don't look at those things, but we rather look and we're completing what he has for us. Or if you have family members who don't know the Lord, as I've said before, we don't have to come to gentle Jesus, meek and mild. We come to a saviour. We come to the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who's broken the chains and set us free. And so we need to stand in that authority. Remember, I shared some time ago about the eagle, the story of the eagle. And as John and I travelled, as I said last week, I saw this magnificent eagle. And as I said, as we drove past, the other birds all flew away, but he just on the side of the road, not far from the cars, and he was on his prey. There was a dead kangaroo, a carcass, and he's sitting there. And as we went past, you just sat there and watched the cars go by as if to say, this is my position and I'm not moving. That's how we should be in God. Are you frightened of the movement going by? Are you afraid of things that don't have the power that God has given you to have? We can become so deceived about the things of this world. And the enemy is about confusing us. He's about discouraging us. And all of those things. But if we stand strong in God, that eagle is a symbol that he's not afraid. He knows why he's there. And this is mine, guys, and I'm not moving. And so we need to say that. We need to come before God and say, Lord, you've given me this marriage. You've given me these children. You've given me this life. And this is mine. And I stand in you and I claim it. I claim it that you will give me the grace to surrender to you so that you can work in my loved ones. But we try to do it ourselves. We try to change things when God says, just you surrender. God taught me a long time ago, take your eyes off it. That's none of your business. You just be in me and let me deal with them. And so as we do that, our nature, our personality, we become soft, supple, and then God can bring the change. So we need to stand in the gap. We need to stand as Moses did and plead for these people and plead for the people of the world, the people of this community that so desperately need a saviour. I believe the days are short and I believe God's calling us as a church to rise, the church, the worldwide, to rise up and be a voice. When you think about it, there's some wonderful things happening in the world. But there is so much more needs to happen, even in your small corner, even where we are. We need to mediate with God. We need to speak to him about these things. Okay, I better bring it to a close. Jesus Christ died for each one of us that we would have life and have life in abundance. And that life in abundance is a provision of all of our needs, but it's also a life of joy, a life of overcoming, a life of victory. Do you know that victory today? The only way you'll know that victory is if you know the Lord face to face. If you can come in before his presence, if you can say to him, Lord, I want no more than you. I want no more than your glory. Show me your glory, Lord. Show me your glory. And so God gave Moses that. He took him to this place. He showed him that Moses crouched down in the cleft of the rock and the glory of the Lord passed by Moses. What a thing to be able to see, to know him. If we trust Jesus as our mediator, then we know the presence of God is with us. No matter what we do, whether we sin, sometimes a Christian sins and they think, oh, I've done it again, I've blown it, it's too late. But you see, the moment the Word of God says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from our sin and all our unrighteousness and bring us back into a oneness with him. So on our lips needs to be a continual repentance of the things that only we know that go on in our lives, the things that we see, the things that we feel. The other thing is a determination not to be caught up in the traps of these things, not to look at these things, because once seen, once heard, they're there. And then we need to be seeking God and desiring him with our whole heart, with our whole heart. We need to come and not worry about that we're not good enough, because we'll never be good enough. It's only Jesus Christ that makes us worthy. There's nothing of ourselves, nothing. But we need to know that he is worthy and he's given his life in obedience so that we can come face to face with this awesome God, that we can stand and speak to him, that we can come into the Holy of Holies, we can come into the throne room, and we can praise him and worship him and glorify him. So there's one crucial difference between the Christian and the non-Christians, and we know that, and that's the presence of God through Jesus Christ our Lord, that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so we need this treasure to fill our hearts every day, every moment of every day, so that we might do the work that God's called us to do. That we might not become indifferent, that we might not become sluggish, that we may not give up on everything that God has called for us to do. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all other people on the face of the earth? Jesus Christ is the one. We need to reveal him. We need to boast of him. We need to share of him. And you know, people are often stirred and taken more by what they see than what they hear, because talk can be cheap. We can prattle off a whole lot of stuff, but unless it really resides, unless it really abides in our hearts, it means nothing. But when we live it, just quickly, the other day we were at lunch with someone and we stopped to give thanks. And this lady got up out of her chair and came over, and we'd hardly said amen, and she put her arms on my shoulders and hugged me, and she said, how awesome to see you giving thanks. I haven't seen that for a long time. It's touched my heart. And both my husband and the person we were with thought I knew the lady. I didn't know her. She was taken with the fact that she saw something. Now, we don't know. Just that one thing could stir something in her heart that she hadn't known before, or that she'd pulled away from for a long time. Do you know, when you stop in a restaurant or somewhere and give thanks, people notice. If you look at them, they might seem all embarrassed, but they notice. And you see, what you're doing, you are calling God into that place. You're calling the Spirit into that place. When God blesses you, his blessing is around. And so he's going to stir people to inquire, even if it's only in their thoughts and minds. So we need to be living as well as proclaiming this message. Let your presence be in me, Lord, every moment of every day. Let me be all that you have called me to be, so that I might call others. We have been called to be the voice of God today, to the broken, to the needy. And you see, when life's over, it's over. Very quickly, it's over. Let's not tire of doing good. Let's not tire of meeting him. Let's not grumble about getting up and spending that time with him, finding him first thing in the morning and having him with us all day. Father God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that your word is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. Your word, Lord, is there to instruct us, to guide us, to feed us, to teach us, to grow us, Lord, into all the fullness that you have for us. Father, I pray that your word might speak. Each one of us, Lord, have come this morning with different needs. We all have different things that we face each day, Lord, and you know all of those. Because, Lord, if we have that oneness with you in Christ, you know us, you know our name. Lord, I pray that each person here this morning might know afresh that you know their name. That you know not only their name, but what that name means. You know all about them. You know them intimately. So, Lord, I pray that your Spirit might stir us to know you more intimately. That we might live for you, Lord God. That we might live for your purpose. That we might shut out the things of this world. That, yes, Lord, there are things that we can enter into, but they might not become the most important thing. But rather, like Moses, we can say, show me your glory, Lord. Show me your glory. Let your presence pass by me. When I am close to you, my spirit will run free. I want to be your child, know you intimately, intimately, Lord. Show me your glory. And I thank you, Lord, that as we cry that from our heart, you will reveal yourself. Just as, Lord God, we saw in a time that we needed to hear from you, that beautiful, perfect rainbow that came across the sky, not by coincidence, but by your hand, given to us at that moment, Lord, to encourage us and to show us your presence with us, your glory, Lord, your glory. Father, may we be a people that's eyes are open to see those things, to see that when we cry and ask, Lord, we will look to see the answer, for you never fail. So, Lord, just bless our hearts this morning. And, Lord, I pray that if there is anyone here today who doesn't know you as their Saviour, that you would stir and continue to stir their heart, Lord, with unrest until they surrender, they come and say, Lord, I want this life. I want this life in Christ Jesus. And so, Father, bless your word to each one of us today that we might grow into the fullness of all you have for us. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.